Hey, Sam. What's going on?
Nothing much, Cal. Hey, Millie.
Hi, Sam.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Hi, Cal.
I don't know how to respond to this. The commitment has left me in an awkward position.
Yes, I told you it would.
It would have been such an easy way to introduce me. Whatever that just was. At a round table in, like, Shrek 2. We could have done it so much easier.
So, guys, right. Yeah. If you were going to haunt anywhere after death, where would you haunt? Or, alternatively, who would you haunt?
So basically, if you had the power to walk through walls, where would you go? That's what you're asking.
Haunting and walking through walls are very different things.
Well, yes, but if you're a ghost...
If you're a ghost, you go, boo.
Yeah, I understand what haunting is, Sam. What I'm saying is, you don't actually
have to be like a friendly ghost.
You don't pick somewhere to haunt based on, I think the guy here is a dick and I want to spend the rest of my eternal wanderings around a dick that I don't like. You go... I'm just gonna float somewhere fun. No, so I would haunt Disneyland.
Now Walt's got that covered. I don't think you're allowed.
No, because he's not dead. He's just frozen.
He's frozen. There's a difference, Sam.
Sorry,
with
my
MJ,
bad.
We know this
fact.
My bad, guys.
I would haunt. I'm going back to the original question. I'm going to take it seriously.
That's fine.
Because I respect you, Sam.
Oh, thank you.
Haunt is in a spooky way.
As opposed to a sexy way.
Yeah, sexy haunt. We could do that when I'm alive, guys. My spooky haunt will be, I'm trying to think of a place which would be gratifying for me if I wanted to really stay people.
Gross.
Like a cemetery, because...
Gross.
I mean, a cemetery is a classic place to haunt. Mm. I think I'd rather just haunt Cal.
Yeah, but that's because I'm great and you want to spend time with me.
Mm. But soon enough, you'd realise it was Sam, and then be like, this isn't bothering
like,
me.
Yeah.
I'm just annoying.
Like, stop putting static on my television, you dick.
Yeah, and
isn't spooky?
Whoa.
Fuck off, Sam.
And get out of here.
And on that note, let's play the
music. Oh, that's good.
No. Play the music. Now you can play it.
Dictator.
Welcome to the Video Shop Podcast, about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other host, Sam, and today we're joined by Millie to discuss the...
Gross.
Discuss the new Ghostbusters.
Alright, what did you guys think?
I mean, this movie was always going to be a massive build-up to nothing, wasn't it? No matter what, it was going...
Oh, the anger on Millie's face.
I'm going to buzz in. Ding. No.
What I mean by this is that the people who liked the original movie are always going to go, I'm really excited to see another installment in this franchise, and it's not... another installment in this franchise, and then everyone who's going, it's gonna be garbage, and the rumble is just gonna go there and go, it was fine.
Mm.
So, no one is satisfied after this movie, even though it was a good movie.
Mm. I can name some people who were satisfied. That was Millie Holton. She had a great time in the cinema, had very high expectations, and they were met. Sam, sorry, interrupted you. Keep going.
Fine. Look, I was the opposite. I had really low expectations.
Oh.
And they exceeded. It exceeded my expectations, which is good. I would have to say that I did thoroughly enjoy the movie. My two biggest criticisms are, it made me just want to watch the original Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
which isn't so much a criticism, but it just meant I constantly was thinking about that one.
Mm-hmm.
The second criticism is, there is no reason it couldn't have been a sequel. There's no reason you could have tied the Ghostbusters universes together and had it all connected.
Like, if they were going to do Zool again, fair enough, you've got to make it a reboot. But, yeah.
But they didn't do Zool again.
No. It was just some loser.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just some nerd.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, Millie,
yes.
Have you stayed till the end of... Did you stay till the end of the credits?
No. And I didn't know there was an end credit scene, and I wish I'd been told. No, yeah. But I didn't see anything online that there was an end credit scene.
There definitely was, because I was with someone who's like, hey, there's an end credit scene, so we got to stay put. I'm like, oh. Did you stay through all the credit clips, though?
I stayed through the clips, and then the remix of the Ghostbusters came on. That was honestly shit, and I'm like, nah. This is where
all
I bailed.
All the remixes were
shit. Oh, I could go with the little dubstep number. I was on board with that. But I couldn't go with whatever that other one was when they were driving through the city.
The Fall Out Boy one.
Yeah.
That was garbage. Oh. Like, they released it as its own song beforehand.
I really like Fall Out Boy too.
Fall Out Boy are fine, but it sounded like... I might have already said this to you. It sounded like they got an app that made other songs sound like Save Rock and Roll, their last album. And no, it wasn't their last album. American Beauty, American Psycho was their last album. Anyway, they got the Fall Out Boy app and just played the original song into it.
It was a bad idea. It wasn't good. I felt everyone in the cinema just be like, oh, what? What's... what? Excuse me. There's a mistake.
You've been good until now.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop it.
Come on. Don't be silly.
Do you know what happened in the end credit sequence? Did you read about it?
No.
So, what's her name? Patty is listening to the fart tape.
Ah, yes. Classic gag.
Classic gag.
Yes.
But there's no fart joke in this one.
Mm-hmm.
She actually she says, oh, I've picked up on something. What's Zool? Reference to the original.
Yay. I was watching, like, I watched it with Bob, and we're sitting at the end going, do you reckon there's an end credit scene? Bob's like, probably. I'm like... Sam will tell us about it, won't he? Yeah, and we just left.
Yeah, so you didn't see it either.
Didn't see it either.
Yeah. That doesn't have as much resonance for me because I can't remember the original Ghostbusters. I've seen it. Don't you? Hey. Well, no, I've seen it. I just, like, the name Zool just means nothing to me.
Zool, motherfucker.
I want to be honest with... I don't want to go half an hour into this Zool conversation pretending I know what's up.
The original is so good, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. You know, Millie's sounding an awful lot like Kel, and that's that's something Kel says.
Look, it's the original Ghostbusters is a genuinely good movie, but it is one of those lightning in a bottle, like the right people at the right time with the right everything just falling into place.
That's definitely true.
So I wouldn't have expected them to. I mean, it's Sony. They've got to cash in on all the intellectual properties they've got left because now they sort of don't have Spider-Man.
Yeah. They gave Spider-Man to people who know what they're doing.
Which is what I was worried about, that ultimately we were going to get, like, let's try and recoup our losses with Spider-Man by creating another series, and they were just going to amazing Spider-Man.
I'm actually totally on board with a Ghostbusters franchise.
I think so, too.
That's nice to hear. So you'd be up for, like, sequels after
I'm
this one?
So definitely. Totally yes. Up for sequels.
Yes.
I just get out of New York. I want to see the London branch of the
great.
Ghostbusters.
No, that would be terrible.
I like the different locations idea.
Different locations is fine, but the London version is just, let's do Torchwood.
That's the first thing I thought of. Cut me some slack. Give us some
Torchwood
Melbourne
is
Ghostbusters.
Crap.
I'll
yes.
do it.
Yeah.
I'll be in it, and
seriously.
I'll write it.
Write a thing about, like, we can do some nice commentaries on... like how terrible it is to work for a franchise and how everything, like, there's no small businesses anymore that are just owned by people. It's all big multinational corporations.
I'm fine with franchises. That's fine.
Me too, generally. Yeah. I'm just saying there's some commentary to be had there.
I do want a Ghostbusters too, though. I do want to see where these characters go and if they do more original stuff with them.
Guys, on three, let's say our favourite Ghostbuster of this new one. I'm going to guess that we're all going to have the same one. Ready? One, two, three.
Kate McKinnon.
Excuse me?
Yeah. That's Holsworth, actually.
Okay, good.
Because you said Ghostbuster.
Look.
So I said her name.
Yeah,
you knew what I meant.
I also said just his name, so that's fine.
Yes, thank you. Kate McKinnon. Let's just pause, say a thank you for the gift that is Kate McKinnon.
What a joy. I heard Movie Bob basically say that this woman is going to be huge and that this was her breakout performance and that she was going to be great. So I had high expectations for her going in, and then I don't think it really lived up to it.
Oh, okay.
But she was great. Like, I'm not knocking her. It just, I was expecting even more. So I don't know how to feel.
The thing is, within the context of Ghostbusters, I really liked her as a character because in comparison to the original, she's a different character. While the other three are similar in nature to their original counterparts.
I think the only one that was the same was the black one. As racist and awful as that sounds.
I'd say she's actually quite different.
She is very different, but she was the closest one to her original character. Like, none of them were really...
They were, though. Like, Melissa McCarthy was very much Dan Aykroyd. Over-enthusiastic, nutjob, and there was the straight man woman in... What's her name?
Kristen Wiig?
Yes.
Yeah, but Kristen Wiig's character was also, like, reluctantly wacky and fun. She wasn't Peter Venkman.
No, she wasn't, but...
I thought that Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy were underutilized a little bit. They felt kind of stock standard.
Because they're both very funny people.
So funny. You just need to watch Bridesmaids to see their banter and see how great it is. And they didn't have the same, like, what's the word, zingy chemistry that they did in, like, Bridesmaids, for example.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. I agree.
Mm.
But, well, I think that's because I enjoy the other two characters so much more, because they were just much more vibrant and lively as far as characters go. Mm. So this is all good. And Chris Hemsworth, maybe his best performance.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Can you answer the phone, please? I can't, it's in the fish tank.
Yeah.
No, that one. Oh.
Yeah. I thought that all of Kristen Wiig's interactions with Chris Hemsworth were amazing as well.
Really?
That was great. She's good at, like, little subtle facial expressions, which are just, like, amazing.
We should touch on the plot really briefly. So it's basically the first Ghostbusters. As far as, like, beats go, the difference being there's an actual antagonist who's a guy who's building these devices which amplify ghost energy, and at the end he opens a big ghost protocol. That's a movie called Mission Impossible.
Wait a second, tie-in. It's happening.
Tom Cruise in Ghostbusters, I'm on board.
No.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch the hell out of that. Tom Cruise is like a Ghostbuster.
They try to, like, governmentally, like...
With Brad Pitt.
They try...
What's he doing there? Get him out of there.
We're crossing it with Ocean's 11 now.
Oh, man. I'd watch a heist movie with, like, ghosts. Anyway, that's a pitch for another day.
Opens a portal and all these ghosts come through and then they have to close the portal.
If the government was like, hey, we're taking control of this whole ghost-busting operation and we're getting our best agents on it, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, and meanwhile they fuck it up something chronic and the actual Ghostbusters have to come in, that's a good sequel premise right there.
That's fun. I like that. What I was saying earlier about how it had no excuse to not be a sequel, all you had to do was have the mayor have a hand, a handoff comment, you know, remember all those hoax back in the 80s. There was a Ghostbusters team then.
Hmm.
And we know about this, but it's been kept out of the public eye.
I don't think that would have done it, because then the Statue of Liberty's walking around. That's not a hoax.
I was going to say, they brush it off after Ghostbusters 1. Like, Ghostbusters 2 starts with everyone thinking they're frauds. I think you can pull it off again. Although I do have to say I loved all the original Ghostbusters cameos.
Yeah,
Dan Aykroyd was a bit... fisted in his... That was a bit heavy-handed.
Which one was he?
The one in the taxi.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Iron Afraid of No Ghost, and he's like, there's no way that fucking Bill Murray's getting more screen time than me. Yeah. I'm going to make this one little bit of me being in this taxi laugh for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You see, because of that, it's my favourite of the cameos. So good.
There was a satisfaction when he said, "I'm a friend, no ghost."
Yes,
it's just something your heart just goes, "Hey."
My stomach went.
These are only class 5 operations. I'm not scared of that.
Mm.
It's good. And Bill Murray, I like how they killed Bill Murray.
I feel like it was definitely a Harrison Ford moment. I'm not coming back unless I'm never coming back again.
Yeah.
I thought his appearance on the TV was going to be it.
Yeah, and then when he turns up in person, I was like,
because it was the TV appearance was really badly green screened too, so I'm like, they've just gone to his house. That's what he just wears at home. They put a green screen behind him, and told him to say words.
I reckon, and like, then that sounds very Bill Murray. It's like,
yeah,
look, I'm not interested in doing this.
He did look a bit disinterested.
He did.
Poor Bill. But he could have said no. But
Well, I imagine that enough he to did do it. For the last, yeah. like, 30-odd years before they decided, no, we're going to do it with actually, like, young and funny people now.
And then the last cameo where he's Paddy's dad. I don't remember that actor's name. I always forget him and the other guy.
Mm.
But that was also a funny cameo. He's like, I've got funerals.
Yeah.
Funerals to attend.
Back on Leslie Jones, she really surprised me. I was going off like the jokes that were in the trailer, which I just wasn't digging too much, but she did a fantastic job in the movie. Second only to Kate McKinnon. Yes, Kate McKinnon.
The advertising campaign for this movie was a fucking schmozzle.
It just bothers me so much what they did.
Everything I saw made me hate it more.
Mm.
And then I'm like, the amount of people who were genuinely upset that this movie looked terrible and then were shouted down by other people going, oh, you're a misogynist. And it's like, no, this movie looks terrible.
The thing is, I have no doubt there were genuinely people who would dislike it for misogynistic
reasons. Yeah,
absolutely.
However, you can also dislike it because it just looked bad.
It did look bad.
But I didn't say the movie was bad because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
I said the trailers look bad. I'd do a show on that before the movie is videoshoppod.com.
You could even comfortably say it's probably going to be bad because Sony's got a terrible track record right now, and just because Melissa McCarthy's in it doesn't mean it's going to be funny.
We've learned this
before. See Tabby.
Or Identity Thief.
Who even remembers that movie?
Even Jason Bateman didn't save that movie.
Yeah.
Poor Jason Bateman.
I know.
I was so conflicted when I saw those trailers because I'm a big old fan of all of the women in the cast because I watch SNL religiously, especially Kate McKinnon. I'm like, this is your chance, baby. You can do it.
Yeah.
And then I watched them like, oh no, like, what have they done? Don't Kate run and people be like, look shit. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, sure, it's just a trailer, but inside I was like, oh no, like, this could be so horrible. And
Kevin Feige trailers are always bad though. I remember watching them. What
is it? Paul?
Paul Feige.
Paul Feige.
Kevin.
Who's Kevin Feige?
I don't know who Kevin Feige is.
Who's the Marvel guy?
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the Marvel producer.
Because as soon as you said I don't know who he is, I'm like, maybe I'm wrong. What's going on in my head?
Yes, Paul...
Paul Feig. Great director.
His trailers are always bad.
Yeah.
That's no excuse, though. Just because he's always been bad in the past doesn't mean he should continue to be bad in the future.
But he's not in charge of his trailers, though.
That's the Sony
cutting
team.
Yeah, he cannot be blamed. People like... Like, if J.J. Abrams has a bad trailer, I'm like, that's on you, J.J.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because he's so anal about that kind of thing.
And surely they have some creative input. Surely they go...
Not always. A lot of the time, they just give a bunch of... To not even, like, in-house. It's like an external trailer-making organization. Just give them a bunch of footage and that's it.
Mm. Yeah, but you at least tell them what footage to put in.
Not always. That's why you watch trailers, and they always have the same music overtone.
And that, what was it? The fan cut that came out after, like, the first trailer. And it was just, it was the exact same trailer with a few more things cut out, and the original music, and it was perfect.
Yeah, actually,
that was real good.
There is a fine line between a really good trailer and the most utter garbage.
Can I talk about my favourite part of this movie?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
No.
Which is the opening.
I don't care.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't call that.
I loved the opening all the way to the Ghostbusters logo. It screamed charisma.
It set the tone, didn't
it? I don't think it set the tone. It was scary. Like, it was genuinely creepy.
Mm.
And then he goes down the stairs and he has this moment where he's like, what have I done? And that set the tone. And then he's hanging off the thing and the Ghostbusters thing starts. You have those first four, you know, those first couple chords. And then from that opening sequence, I was about it.
Mm.
I was about the movie. I'm like, this is good. Mm. I've enjoyed that. I think I'm going to enjoy the rest.
Back to the scary thing. It was quite, to use the word again, spooky. Quite a few parts.
Yeah.
I can't do horror movies. I was back behind my hands a few times because I was scared of that jump scare. And boy, did it get me a few times.
I was going to say, yeah, I saw this with Brianne and Matt.
Mm.
And Brianne jumped out of her skin when the first ghost vomited all over.
Mm.
That got me, even though I'd seen it in the trailers. Like, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
That's because you don't watch horror either.
I don't watch horror, but I don't watch horror for, like... I've seen so many bad horror movies.
Mm, it's hard to do well.
It really is, and so many people try.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are some genuinely amazing horror movies.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah, but you don't watch those either.
But I've seen, like,
but to
all the best horror movies that I've seen have
Let's
turned out
fight.
To not be
Let's
horror
not
movies.
Fight with a guest.
I'm not. I'm just explaining my position.
Came
I'm just
here
explaining
as a favor.
Why you're an idiot.
I didn't come here to listen to it. My favorite part of the film was when Kate McKinnon. Love Kate McKinnon, guys.
You didn't mention it.
Oh, guys, I really like Kate McKinnon. I don't know if that came across.
I'm glad you clarified.
Okay, yeah. No, it's no worries. No worries. Here to help. But no, when she got a new guns out. Don't know why she licked it. I'm fine. Whatever. But when she had her proper hero moment, and she was kind of like, aside from when, all right, this is enough. We'll go back to this part when Kristen Wiig was jumping down that big vortex, and the effects weren't great. that was a little silly. But anyway, when she did a whole slow motion bit, busting ghosts. Oh, I just wish I was like 11 and watching that moment. I would have flipped out. I did flip out at my age, but like if I was 11, that would have been this would have been my favorite movie, I reckon, just because of that one moment.
I like it because I think it will introduce another generation to Ghostbusters.
Mm.
Because Ghostbusters was the previous generation's Ghostbusters. I think this is good enough that it can be this generation's Ghostbusters, and I hope it inspires them to see the original Ghostbusters. What I was going to say, I'm glad you brought up that scene because I have a huge gripe with this movie.
Yes.
And it's Patty's shredder thing. How it sucks the ghost in and shreds it out the back. Why didn't they all have one of those? Because it is so much more effective than the proton pack.
Yes.
Well,
this is true.
The gripe I have is why are they fighting the ghosts and not capturing them and storing them?
They don't have enough room. There were so many ghosts.
I think the idea is that they just had to temporarily disable them because their ultimate goal was destroying the portal, which
sucks
all the ghosts
away. There was nothing established that doing this to the ghost doesn't, like, destroy the immortal soul section of the ghost. Like, for all we know, all those ghosts are now legit dead. They were basically murdering people.
That's not how ghosts work.
We don't know how ghosts work, Sam. They don't explain it at all.
It doesn't matter.
Also, they're not real. I wanted to jump in. I didn't mind it, but that's just me.
You know this was a documentary, Millie.
Oh, no. No, I don't have any gripes about ghost lore. Maybe that's just me. I'm sorry.
The only
I didn't
thing
care
because
the original Ghostbusters had, like, ghosts and, like,
Boston
haunted
ghost
gargoyles and
yeah.
gods. So it's fine.
Yeah, it just felt a bit like, what are you trying to get at here and why is it so different from the original?
I like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, its cameo was good.
Also, why shoot it in the dick? That was definitely the moment in the film I was like, come
yeah.
on, guys.
Yeah,
you
like
can
that.
Do better, but I didn't bother me too
but
much.
You don't understand. There are so many men are upset about this movie, so we've got to shoot him in the dick.
Yes.
The thing is, it doesn't make sense. It's a non-corporeal form.
Exactly. Of course it doesn't make any sense. Surely, if what you're trying to do is loosen its grip on the buildings, shoot it in the hands, maybe.
The face.
Or get the shredder out. Just suck little bits of it in at a time and just... So you get the whole thing.
Exactly.
You could.
The shredder was so much more effective than everything else they had.
But at the same time, boy, did I enjoy that whole gadget lineup. That she did when she made all the new... Like, if I was 11 and I'd seen her whip out all of those gadgets, I would have freaked out. Though, because nothing cooler than gadgets being laid out in a film like weapons. Oh, man, I love that. So that's why they didn't all use a shredder.
I agree.
That's a boring scene. She's like, he's a shredder for everyone, great. And then they leave.
You're right. What I was going to say is that is something this movie has over the original. The original, they get the proton packs, they get the catches, and that's it.
Mm.
I like that this goes into the tech a little bit more, and there's more of it.
But it leans this movie much more towards a superhero movie rather than a
exterminators. Would argue spy movie.
Spy movie?
Like, yeah, gadgets aren't inherent with superheroes.
No, but what you were doing was establishing each one's power set.
I guess,
And separating each other based on what they can do in a battle.
I was imagining more, and here's your magnet watch, and here's your explodey pen.
I'll tell you what that reminds me of, another cinematic gem, Agent Cody Banks. There is a scene you watch your tones. No, but when
I'm just going to say, Agent Cody Banks 2 was better.
Better, I have not seen 2 in a long time. I've seen number 1 very recently. And there's a scene where he gives out all the gadgets. Again, when I was 11, that was the best movie ever for that reason, for the gadgets.
I haven't seen Agent Cody Banks 1 or 2.
Missing out, my friend.
But I have seen Frankie Muniz's other trip to the big screen via Big Fat Liar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, was that a...
I don't even know what to think about that movie.
I have a soft spot because my dad adores that movie, and mainly for the scene where they dye the swimming pool blue. And this is my dad when he watches it. Oh, kids, look, it's blue! And then that's it, just like, yeah, Dad, we do this thing. He'd always just put on this movie because he loved it so much. So I've seen it like a good dozen times. And so soft spot for Frankie Muniz on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, Frankie Muniz is... is he doing things? I'm assuming he's doing things.
He's a race car driver now.
What?
And he plays drums in a band.
He took on the racing stripes thing a little too far. Because I'm like,
race car driver. That's a weird thing to jump to.
Look, Google it, because I'm pretty sure that's right. But at the same time, yeah. Oh, Sam, get me your phone. No,
we've talked about it. It's going in the show notes. So
we're not a fact checking show here.
No, good. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like Patty's character was ultimately underutilized as well. She set up this whole, I have a historical interest in architecture and
New York. And I liked that about her
character. That was a nice surprise.
I was hoping that she was going to turn out to be like a history student or something, and that she had some sort of qualification level, like expertise in the field.
This is what happens when you get an art degree, kids, and work in a train station.
if she had an arts history degree, that would have been funny.
That would have been really great.
And they never said she didn't. She might.
Yeah,
which is fine.
But it felt like her character was supposed to have a proper sort of role, and discounting it to just "I know New York" was a bit.
I didn't like that line. I forget the character's name in the first one. The token black guy. In the original Ghostbusters, he's there just because he needs a job. And they need extra help. So they hire a guy and he's just like, cool. And they're like, Ghost, by the way. And he's like, whatever you say, as long as I get my paycheck.
And I love that about the original movie. And it wasn't setting up a superhero thing of people saving the day. It was, we are exterminators, but we do ghosts and not cockroaches.
Yes, exactly.
It was funny. It was an interesting premise.
And I hope they delve into that more, and I hope we get more friends.
I don't think we will. I think we're going to get
in New York.
Mech suits and crazy shit.
But I want the Ghostbusters Corporation. I want, like, different divisions in different parts of the world. Cool. Did you hear... There was a rumour buzzing around that there was going to be a Channing Tatum, Chris Pratt Ghostbusters team.
I hope that doesn't happen.
It's false.
Is it happening? It's not happening. Thank God.
Why not that? That sounds okay.
There's, like, too many Spider-Men. I'm good with this. I just don't want it to detract from this unit that's just been established, because it's so good.
I want in-universe spin-offs of the Ghostbusters team.
Okay.
I want corporation. I want it to be like, hey, so we're starting a branch up in Los Angeles. We're expanding our business.
That would be cool.
Because ghosts don't happen just in New York.
Neither do superhero disasters. Fun fact. For everyone. Yeah.
Correct.
Poor New York.
Nah, they probably deserve it.
watch your mouth there, kid. Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of terrible people there, but still.
I was going to say something about the movie, and I forgot what I was going to say. It was great. Like, I genuinely enjoyed it, because I didn't think I would.
Have you heard much about the animated series, or watched the animated series?
I watched the intro.
It's not the question.
I haven't seen it either, but apparently it goes into, over a season, it'll actually build to them fighting the boogeyman.
Oh, that's sweet.
Right, that's cool.
And, like, big horror figures in folklore. And, like, I reckon... I like
that. Or can the Ghostbusters take on Slender Man? Yes, please.
Yeah, do it!
Is that too internet niche for a Sony?
Especially if it turned out to not be a real thing, and they're trying to fight it for this whole time, and it's like, it's just some dickhead in a suit. And we would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids and your stupid proton packs.
Yes, please.
Seriously, I would watch these, like, because these actors would do a TV series or a Netflix show or something.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'd watch a series on it, especially if the series builds up to something bigger.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Oh, but I don't know. I disagree. I don't know if the actors would do that. But, Melissa McCarthy, maybe not.
She's kind of big screen now.
Yeah. Kate McKinnon, possibly. Leslie Jones, possibly. Because they're doing SNL right now.
But, yeah, and that's TV.
Especially if you can sell it.
I've been told.
It's true.
Oh, whoa.
Fun fact.
If this movie was way bigger, I think it could... I think they would have... a TV show would have been a possibility. I just don't think there's going to be enough of a hype around...
I think this movie is going to build momentum.
I think
because
so.
Because it's got a lot of attention for being so... for having such a bad marketing campaign.
Mm.
So I think people will go to see it to see if it's actually that bad. Mm. People who like Ghostbusters will go see it just out of curiosity. People who like Melissa McCarthy will go see it because of Bridesmaids. And good reviews, which it's getting, will make general audiences go see it. So I think we'll find... It hasn't had a big opening weekend, but I think we'll find it'll snowball.
Mm.
I hope so. And I hope that by the time the obligatory trilogy is over... that everyone is sort of on the bandwagon and we can get some fun stuff in this world.
Mm.
Yes, and that's what I want. I'm happy to have world building.
Mm.
You just have to do it right.
Yeah.
Which something like Spider-Man didn't do
I should have made you play the game.
I've played the game.
What? Why have you played the game?
The Ghostbusters game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's meant to be very good.
It is very
supposedly
good.
Apparently,
Reddit
it's
says.
Basically the third movie
mm.
in
yeah.
the original.
It's got all the original voices, right?
It's got all the voice
yeah.
cast, Bill Murray and all that. It's you play as a new recruit
yeah.
to
that's
the
cool.
core team, and you got a bunch of cool gadgets, multiple things as well as
gadgets.
and it's simple, but it is a lot of fun.
We should do a show where we play video game tie-ins.
You guys got enough podcasts.
No, we don't know.
No, we've only got 4 running consecutively at the moment. I think we need more.
A couple more on the way.
Oh no. Really though? You got more coming?
I think so.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to solidify anything, but the plan is always to make more.
That's good. I don't know how you do it.
Anyway. 1 a week.
Badly.
That's what I
want. The quality gets less and
yeah.
less as we disperse ourselves.
So it's white noise.
Spread ourselves even
oh,
thinner.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, the Ghostbusters game's real good.
I need to play it then.
I want a new game on PlayStation 4.
I'd be down for an upgrade of it. It's a bit old now.
Yeah.
If
they...
It's PlayStation 3...
What would you do if they made the first 2 movies in the style of those games and then released it as a HD trilogy pack
thing
for the new console? I reckon that would be really good.
The game kind of does movies 1 and 2 again, though.
Okay.
It follows its own story, but it kind of part of the story is pulling past ghosts to fight the Ghostbusters.
Okay.
So you get the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and
I mean
and
that
get
makes
the,
sense.
Like if you're gonna play a Ghostbusters game, you want to fight
the
Stay Puft
Marshmallow Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is off topic to video games, but when you saw the movie, I'm sorry, did you?
Oh no, this is technically back on topic.
Yeah, back on topic.
Video game podcast.
You guys have...
I think that was the joke she was trying to make.
Yeah.
Sorry, it went over my head.
It's alright. Anyway, did you guys see the movie in a crowded theatre, empty theatre? What was your theatre experience, capacity wise?
Pretty sparse. And my screen.
Okay, so I went at 8:40 on a Monday night. I was in Knox. I went with a friend who got me in for $2 because he works at the cinema. So I was just loving the cheapness.
Mm. But I assume it was a bit barren.
It was on the barren side. There was some like a group of people kind of all sitting in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was us slightly next to them, and then another people slightly next to us. It was more than I thought there would be. But it wasn't like a sold-out cinema.
Yeah, I saw it in a day session, and it sounds like we all had pretty similar experiences. It was just like a quarter-ish full. But apparently, if you see it on like a Friday night or a Saturday night, it's pumping, and apparently like it's so much. It's like
DJs,
it's a better experience.
Dancing girls in
exactly.
cages.
Exactly.
I would
cinemas I go to. But
yeah.
No, but it's like
when
apparently it's
the...
so much better.
When I go to the movies, I prefer it to be in a strip club, personally.
Yes. Sam, that's a problem. We've talked about this. That's sort of a movie preference.
Oh, no. I would believe that, because you've got the cast to draw it.
Mm.
Hemsworth is a draw. Melissa McCarthy and... the other
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig.
Kate McKinnon. I really like Kate McKinnon, guys. I think she did a great job.
Again, yeah, I haven't mentioned it.
Yeah. Leslie Jones also did a great job. But, yes. Yeah.
They're less of a draw than Melissa McCarthy. And
SNL fans are loving those two right now. Ooh, Leslie Jones less so, but that's just a whole different topic. But anyway.
As two people who don't watch SNL, we have no context.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Which is nice that they both surprised you in a great way.
Yeah, no, like, two favourite characters would be them and then Hemsworth.
Mm.
Like, of the Ghostbusters.
I wonder what Hemsworth's role will be going forward.
I'm assuming not a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get him back for the sequel.
You think? You don't think?
They will definitely get him back.
I reckon they will, but absolutely. I don't know what role he'll do other than the old receptionist. Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is one of the most underrated big stars right now. And I know that sounds dumb because he's just everywhere and
yep, huge, in everything.
But he's the least popular Avenger.
Oh.
For no good reason.
I was going to say, no, he's not. And I'm like, wait a second. Yes, he is.
I actually know someone and Thor's her favourite Avenger.
Who this? Do I know this person?
No, you don't.
Okay, I thought it was someone from uni.
No, this is an old work friend.
I thought you were going to say Annabelle, and I'm like, you're dead wrong, my friend. That's not true. Anyway.
I mean, he sure as hell ain't my favourite, but...
With this whole, like, let's make all the Avengers individual movies different types of genres of things, and let's make Thor this, you know, big epic fantasy sort of thing.
Thor 2 should have been so much better than it was.
I mean, I'm a big Christopher Eccleston fan, and I'm embarrassed to say that after that movie. I mean, and it wasn't his fault. It was just a garbage, nothing movie.
But you had such a great... You had one of the directors of Game of Thrones on it, and you had a good writing team.
I think they just had bugger all to work with, and Thor can't...
I think they tried to do too much, actually, and they ended up taking... And then it just ended up being bland, because they had to cut it down too much.
But it always had to be built around one chunk of the main story. It always had to be built around one of the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think you're kind of limited with a Thor film just because of the character that is Thor. He's not a human. It's hard to...
I like how you put quotation marks around
they
that.
They didn't see.
Well, they
no.
Yeah.
No, but he's not a human. Therefore, like, getting audience investment in, like, his stories is, I think, a bit more difficult.
Which is, I think, why, like, Loki was such an asset to that series, and then going without Loki meant that no one could live up to it. He wasn't the antagonist, is what I was getting at. Like,
I would argue that their dynamic was the best part of that movie.
It really, really was. But
really,
I think...
Really?
It really, really was. but I think what you want to do with Thor is juxtapose his alienness with a villain who's relatively human and is fucking with Thor's goals on an Earthling level.
Yeah. I think Thor 3 is going to be fantastic.
I really
hope
so.
It's got the Hunt for the Wilder People director.
And it's got Mark Ruffalo in it.
Oh, bless.
As Bruce Banner. Which means Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean Planet Hulk.
It's going to be Planet Hulk.
It's not. It's...
Absolutely it is.
I mean, I'm not... Marvel, fuck you for making all these movies, naming them after a comic book series, and then having them be very, very not what you've named them. You pricks. Because I was about to say, no, it's Ragnarok. We know what the Ragnarok story is. And then I'm like, no, it's not going to be that.
It's going
to
be Ragnarok with elements of Planet Hulk.
I don't know about that.
I think it is.
I think people...
I'm
going to
be right.
The funniest...
And when I'm right, I'm going to remind you I'm always right.
Whatever.
And to shut up.
One of the funniest moments in Avengers 2 was Thor saying to Banner, the gates of Valhalla are spewing forth with your victims. And, No, they've all just got bruised egos and busted ribs and... Yeah, like that bit was really funny, and I just butchered it terribly.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck you, Sam, for making me do it.
It's now when I jump in and say I haven't seen Thor 2. Good chats though, guys.
That was
really.
I mean, we were just talking about Avengers 2.
Oh yeah. love the Avengers. Avengers. I've seen it. Disinterested. Next. No. Let's talk about... Wow, who was really good in this movie? What's her name again? Anyone? What's it? Kate McKinnon. Yeah.
Oh,
McKinnon.
Was, oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
She was really good.
We haven't spoken about her at all.
No.
Yeah. Why not?
I
thought you were going to talk about somebody you talked about before.
Yeah.
So I wasn't, wasn't ready for Kate McKinnon.
Nah.
Genuinely, though, she was the best part of this movie.
Oh.
So funny.
I think she was really good. I think some of the jokes were generally tasteless, but her delivery was spot on.
And that's the thing. Most of her dialogue would have been terrible with a lesser actress. But she delivered it all great. And that's the thing. I was surprised at how funny this movie was, despite some of the jokes falling really flat.
Yeah, all the ones in the trailer fell flat.
Yes.
And even in the cinema, like, even with, like, people being on board with the movie, they just, none of them got laughs. Little giggles at the slapping scene, but that was it.
I'm going to nominate this as the funniest part of the movie,
mm-hmm.
when Chris Hemsworth says, "Little help," and catches the sandwich.
Yes.
I was this close to wetting myself.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I don't know why.
Because who throws a sandwich?
Back. And
who picks it up off the ground and not only goes, "Okay, I'm picking up a sandwich off the ground, but I'm going to toss it to this person and it's going to remain intact. And then he's going to eat it. That's fine. This is a normal thing."
So funny.
Every level did that joke work on.
But the thing is, most of Chris Hemsworth's jokes worked. He's actually a very diverse actor.
He is.
I like that they let him use an Australian accent because, as I think we've seen in the past, when Australian actors and actresses, in general, there are exceptions. Toni Collette is one. But anyway, when they try and do comedy in not an Australian accent, I don't think it works that well because it's so dry, the Australian voice, that
especially when you're trying to do improv. When you're trying to go, "This is a funny thing that I've come up with off the top of my head, here it is." It's very hard not to do that in your natural...
Yeah, to then be thinking also about how you're speaking takes away from it, absolutely.
Mm. Rebel Wilson had that case. In Pitch Perfect, she's very good. Don't know what you guys think of Pitch Perfect.
Don't really like Rebel Wilson.
Okay, great chats. back to the point.
Also,
she's
Pitch Perfect.
Well, then you don't get to have an opinion on Rebel Wilson.
I've seen other things.
I've seen everything wrong with Pitch Perfect.
watch Pitch Perfect, and then I'm sure it'll change your opinion of Rebel.
I've heard
that's
what
fine.
My sisters keep saying.
Yeah,
and I don't necessarily trust my sisters' taste in movies.
Oh well, trust Amelia's taste in movies. it'll change your mind on Rebel Wilson, I think.
Right.
But when she does, and she's an Australian in that, and she improvs all her lines, and it's well good. But when she does other movies, when she does other movies in an American accent, they flop, usually. So good on Chris Hemsworth for using an Australian accent.
Yes, very funny man.
Very funny man. Very pretty man.
Just on a side note, have either of you seen the Foxtel ad with him?
Yes.
Have you seen it, Kel?
I have, but I don't remember anything about it. He's speaking in his Thor voice, isn't he?
No, he's like mixing a thick shake and there's a narration. It's like,
"Hey,
Hemsy,
I haven't seen that.
Hey, Hemsy, what you watching?"
I haven't seen this one.
You're
this
watching...
is a different one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's like shaking a thick shake and he's like watching something on a tablet and this voiceover's like, Hey, Hemsy, what you watching? You're watching yourself, aren't you, Hemsy? And it cuts over his shoulder. It's just him watching Thor. And he's just got like this really, really like creepy look on his face. It's real funny.
That's good. He seems like a nice man.
He's probably lovely.
Yeah.
On another side note.
Yes.
Have you seen his gym? He's got a mad gym. Like in
Where
his house.
Where have you seen his gym?
Of course he's
in his house.
Oh.
I snuck in through the window.
Oh, of course, yes.
No.
That's how he went to jail.
Floor. He just brachiates everywhere, like monkey bars. Upper body strength.
Upper body
That's
strength.
How you do it.
What do you guys think of the villain? Because I have opinions.
Let's hear him.
I like when he turned into the Ghostbusters logo. I thought that was really funny.
That was really funny until he got big. I think that sort of annoyed me. Because it was like, why didn't you do that from the beginning? Why did you need Thor for this?
He needed to crush everything.
He
needed Thor to turn on the machine to get all the ghosts.
But he didn't, though.
Yeah,
he always could have taken on a form of something. Because he was the small logo with fingers and the ability to lift things and move things around.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no excuse. It makes me think
that
it was always
a pothole.
No,
it makes me think that it was always going to be Thor, and it was going like the fight was going to be with him, and then the later on they changed it.
Nah, because you have to have that sandwich scene.
I gotta have it. But yeah, my opinion on Villain Man.
Yes.
I think it's a bit of a cop out just to have a villain who is evil for the sake of being evil. Like he's like, I'm just don't like this world, and that's his motivation.
But
whereas yeah. Missed opportunity, I think. I still love the movie, but I think that's a missed opportunity to have like a cool villain with a cool motivation.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more realistic. If we're going to have a terrorist who's going to harness ghost technology...
I didn't say terrorist.
He was, though. He was a guy who just went and he was just inflicting terror upon people via ghosts, which is probably the most direct
spooks.
Way to spook people.
Spooks people.
He was
sure spooks me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, because if anyone's going to do that, it's going to be somebody who's disconnected from the world...
Mm.
Doesn't care about it, is disenfranchised, and is not a very interesting person. Because if they had an interesting life,
he was so bland. And maybe that was the point, and I've just missed it. Like he was bland, and I found him bland.
I think he was meant to be a commentary on the sort of people who were hating on the movie.
Oh, I thought that as well.
Which makes me think that it must have been very self-aware right from the beginning.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
Which gives the movie points, but then I feel like all the bits where they're like reading comments from the YouTube videos, and it was like clearly comments from the trailers and stuff like that, and they're hating on it, I feel like that was in direct response to it rather than in prediction of it.
Yeah, it was filmed afterwards as well, that scene.
It felt a bit petty, I thought.
I don't mind that.
Because it was genuinely a terrible trailer.
It wasn't a good trailer.
No, it wasn't. And none of them really were. Except for the fan edit.
Charles Dance. He was in it for about 5 seconds.
Which one was Charles?
He was the dean of the university that she was getting tenure at. Or not the dean.
Oh,
yes.
Of course.
Yes. And Ozzy Osbourne showed up, didn't he?
Why
was Ozzy the choice to reel in of whatever haze he's in? Like, Ozzy, wander this way.
That was pretty funny, though, at the metal concert to have the big demon ghost.
I did like that scene. I completely forgot about it.
That was so good.
Yeah.
To hear everyone just go, wow, that's awesome! And the light guy going, I didn't do this. Mm. Oh, no!
Yeah. And I think also Leslie Jones did have some great lines in that.
I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah. It's all right, guys.
That mannequin scene. That was, like, apart from the opening scene, that was probably the creepiest other scene in that.
Yeah,
I'm like, she just closed the door and left. Like, I'm having none of that.
Yeah. Also, something I just completely forgot about until right now is the whole mayor and his assistant.
That was great.
That was great. Cecily Strong, also on SNL, everyone. She shut up. The more you know. Fun facts all around. She did a great job. That's my opinion. Thank you.
I did like they knew about it. They had agents. There's a department that deals with this.
That's what I want to say. I want to see those agents.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, those agents, and they mess it up.
Yeah.
That would be a great sequel, the more I think about it. And also in that sequel, I want Leslie Jones to maybe use her history buffness in a big way. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be nice.
And she takes a little adventure around the world with... Oh, no, she just knows New York. Don't worry. Wait, how much does she know? I don't know.
Maybe she...
Is it just history of New York?
Probably.
Who knows? But, like, she could be an American history buff.
That would be cool.
But she's been in the underground tunnels of New York for so long that learning that architecture is just what's easy and accessible.
Mm.
That would make sense.
I like the reveal of the logo. The spray bottle. Some people didn't. Well,
I feel like it was a bit contrived. But
how was they gonna do it?
They didn't have to do it at all.
That's true. I liked it.
I really liked when they go to the firehouse. And
was awesome.
Oh, it's perfect. We're gonna get it. How much is it? I don't remember. It's like that. What did she say?
It's like $12,000 a month or something. Mm.
Yeah. What was the her reply? It was like, it's like, go die.
That was great. Comedy.
Burn
time.
In hell.
Yeah,
burn in hell. Yeah, that's right. Burn in hell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was great. I wanted more gags like that.
And
that
then
was
they got hilarious. It at the end, and I'm like, okay, it's Ghostbusters. Now.
Yeah,
so we'll give you one. And
Sigourney
thing.
Weaver shows up.
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh man, she needs to be in everything. I love that woman.
This is the second time I've seen Sigourney Weaver or heard about her today.
Yes,
something in class today. Anyway, she's everywhere, Sigourney. Good on her.
I mean, just to hear her voice in the aquarium in Finding Dory.
Just
be like, hello, I'm Sigourney Weaver.
Every time, I'm Sigourney Weaver. That was good. Yeah, really, but I really liked the 1-2 with like saying, oh, they're gonna get this fire station, and then they just don't.
No.
That was such a cool
idea. Above the noodle shop.
Yeah.
Oh, and that noodle delivery.
Yeah.
That paid off a lot better than I thought it would. I was so when the funny. Joke first happened, I'm like, this
and
isn't
like,
dumb.
Look, I did good. She's
yeah.
like, the
I just
ratio
want,
is off.
I just want a reasonable.
Oh. See, that
actor's very funny. The delivery guy. He's also in Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yes. No.
I have seen that.
I thought you... No, I haven't seen that.
He's also in that. That's also a very good movie. By, what's his name? Kevin... Colin? Colin.
I don't know who you're talking
Colin
about, so...
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Something
no,
like
I
that.
I have no idea.
Guy directed Jurassic World and is directing Star Wars 9.
So many Star Wars. So many Star Wars.
Star Wars 9.
I think... good on you for bringing up Jurassic World. I don't know, again... I wasn't listening to the podcast when Jurassic World came out. Don't know your opinions on it, but I thought, in terms of like a reboot or whatever, this did a better job than Jurassic World.
Definitely,
I
didn't like Jurassic World.
As a rule, Sam and I will generally like the thing that we've just seen, and then weeks later come back to it and go, "That was garbage, wasn't it?"
Yes.
I think that's generally what we do. We come out of the movie filled with sugar and happiness and just go, I had a good time.
This is why we've stopped going to see movies together.
Well, no.
And we see them early.
The reason we haven't...
No, because normally we see the movie together, we go and record it straight away. We see it separately at another time. We wait a couple of days. We're allowed to incubate.
Mm, and, yeah, really think about our ideas. Ruminate on them, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, Jurassic... I still like Jurassic World, though.
I think it was fine, but I didn't think Jurassic Park was that groundbreaking or that sacred a thing.
I mean,
anyway.
You're wrong. You're just wrong.
I mean, it was good. It was fine. I really liked it, but it was just a movie with scary dinosaurs.
I was going to say, when it first came out, it was groundbreaking. You probably saw it.
Yeah, but when it first came out... But it was groundbreaking because nobody had been able to do that before.
Exactly.
So, again, you're doing this fallacy, Sam, where you go, it was first, therefore it's good.
Anyway, Jurassic World was trash. Back to my opinion. I really didn't enjoy it.
It's fine.
But
I agree, this is better than... I would watch this again before I would watch Jurassic World again.
Mm. Tell you what I want to do. I want to take my little sister to see Ghostbusters because she is 11 currently. And I think it would be so cool for... Because I don't know any other movie with this many... I'm going to bring it up. With this many women in it. There, I said it. But,
Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
I know, but like for kids, right? For kids in an adventure setting.
No, we're
going to have the men's rights activists
oh,
in
no.
the
family
having a battle in the podcast.
I'm bringing them in.
Red pills and blue pills flying everywhere.
No, wake up, everyone. Wake up. Be the alpha.
Fuck off. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway.
No. Those words have been said.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But no, but yeah, I just thought it'd be nice to bring up. I would I think it's so cool that
you're
that
right.
I can bring my little sister to that when I didn't have anything like this.
I mean I would take my little sister to see Bridesmaids. I don't have any quarrels with that.
I question the responsibility you have, depending on the age of your sister.
10?
No, don't bring her to Bridesmaids.
Having not seen Bridesmaids...
There's a whole
no,
screaming match about bleaching assholes. So,
oh,
it's so good.
So
funny. So good.
You should watch Bridesmaids. It's genuinely fun.
It's people like you that make me not want to watch Bridesmaids.
Why?
With your reasonable requests and your fucking... Now, it is generally this constant pressure to watch this movie, and it just makes me go, fuck you. None of this shit.
Yeah, but you don't watch any movies.
I don't watch movies and I don't play video games. I don't do anything anymore, Sam. You know what I do? I travel to Melbourne to talk to you on the internet. I'm so busy all the time, and it's your fault.
This is really sweet, guys. I'm happy I'm here, but I also feel like I should leave.
Anyway, I was going to say something, and yes, no, you're right.
Yes.
About the Ghostbusters being a movie with lots of women that is
family film,
which is also accessible to younger people.
Yeah,
and it's good that that's becoming.
Yes, don't take your 10-year-old to see Bridesmaids. Probably not a good idea.
Take them to see Ghostbusters, but yes. Again, I'll say it a third time. I just wish I had seen it when I was 11 because it would have been incredible. But luckily, we can give those moments to the younger generation.
Now, isn't that sweet?
I forgot my violin, but if you could put a sound effect in there of trumpets
way
and violin.
Way too much work. Not happening.
Yeah, editing now, it's not happening. We don't do that.
I edit. I don't go looking for sound effects that are free.
I want a trumpet. I want an eagle sound.
Then you will learn how to play the eagle and the trumpet.
You only edit when you or I say something so offensive. We're like, we don't want that on the internet.
That's only happened like once or twice.
I think twice. Probably once each.
I'll edit it out. What were they?
what were they?
Once you said something about Catherine Tate.
Oh, yes. I said an awful thing about Catherine Tate.
And I said something awful about...
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Do I know either of these people?
No.
Catherine Tate, the actress. She's Donna Noble from Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
The Catherine Tate Show.
Yes.
In London. And this is the guy who was on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
I know that you're a listener, and you haven't heard this Catherine Tate, but I'm very sorry for what I said.
Catherine.
It wasn't even that bad. I just didn't want you to think less of me.
The less she knows, the more she's going to exaggerate it in her mind. She's thinking horrible things right now.
Right.
She's fun. She's a funny woman. She gets it.
She'll be awful.
She'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
Good.
He's probably heard worse from the web.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, can I quickly touch on SNL as a thing?
Oh, yes!
Because that's the thing. I hear very positive things about SNL, but I always, when I watch it, I feel like I'm watching Play School.
Yeah, look. The thing that I love about SNL, but is also, like, not great about it to some standard, is that it can be very hit and miss. It's like live comedy. They might write these sketches in a week. Some of them are truly horrible sketches.
I was going to say, I watched an SNL sketch just a couple of weeks ago, and it was an Avengers sketch, and it was real bad.
Yeah, like, 99% of the time when they pull from a movie or a pop culture to get in on like the new thing, it doesn't turn out well because whatever reason, it's just like they're shoehorning it or whatever. They just want to get them sweet views on YouTube usually. But every now and again, they just have incredible sketches which make it worthwhile. And then you get to see all these up and coming comedians, and you get to follow their career. And Kate McKinnon, what? So she was in it.
In this one, Ghostbusters?
Yeah, she was in Ghostbusters.
Oh, what?
No, but you can see these comedians. You also see Kristen Wiig, Cecily Strong. They're just Bill Hader, literally all these great comedians. You see them start on SNL, and you get to see them just rise to glory, and it's so satisfying.
And that's what I like about. Like, I'd never watch SNL because I do find it so hit and miss and so generally not entertaining. But I really do like following these comedians to their final glorious forms of comedic geniuses. But that's the reason I feel like it's like Play School.
Yeah,
it's like watching these Australian actors who are so dignified and do such great work singing. If you're happy, clap your hands.
Yeah, it's but at the same time, there is some great writing. Like, I'd recommend from the most recent season, the Ryan Gosling episode got a lot of acclaim.
Right.
It's you might have seen the sketch on it, which was Alien Encounter, and it's going its rounds on the web. But anyway, it's like it's kind of it's such an entry level, just fun time.
Yeah,
Ryan's first name basis. Ryan's breaking in all the sketches. He's having a great time, and so it's just fun to watch. So definitely, if you're gonna, it's an easy little one to start on.
And admittedly, most of my experience with SNL is finding a comedian that I really like and then going and watching their stuff. Like, I've seen a fair bit of Andy Kaufman's time on there and things like that. But, so, like,
I know that 90% of it is gotta be trash to get the 10%.
Yeah, it's that 10% that you look out for. Because, yeah, in a given show, it goes for, what, an hour? Not sure exactly. But 50% might not be good. And then, like, 25% would be all... Excuse me. 25% might be all right. And then every now and again, there's just like, yes.
My laptop wants me to update my virus protection. No. I'm not going to. I've never even installed it.
Jeez, Norton, what are you doing? But there's always those little nuggets of gold which make all the sorrow worth it, and that tends to be the go with SNL, for me at least.
Yeah, I probably won't watch it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I could just send you sketches which work, and then you won't have to sift through the trash.
I'd really appreciate that. That'd be great.
Yes.
Also, can we quickly touch on Play School?
Yeah. So, I love Play School.
Just by chance, I saw some of Play School the other week.
Like, new Play School. On
new TV. Play School.
Yeah.
Because Hamish and Andy were on an episode.
What?
What?
Oh, where was I then?
How is new Play School?
It's fine. I only saw, like, a little bit of their segments. Mm. Because they interviewed a bunch of kids on how they thought. Like, they're one of their producers or Jack on their podcast interviewed some kids about what they thought of the Hamish and Andy sketch.
Right.
Mm. And it was pretty funny. They're like, oh, what did you think of Andy, you know, fixing a bucket with seaweed? And they're like, well, that's dumb. But then they got to what would you think would make this or who would you prefer to see host instead of Hamish and Andy? And there was like Taylor Swift and, you know, a bunch of other singers and then this one kid at the end is just like naked women.
This kid, man.
It's like a 10-year-old.
His nose is priority.
Yeah.
It can be found on the Hamish and Andy website or YouTube channel. Mm, it was completely out of left field.
Was that on Play School?
No. So they interviewed it independent of that, but this is where the connection was. They were then on Hamish. Hamish and Andy were on Play School.
Kids are so weird, man. I used to be a nanny. Kids are just so weird.
I mean, there's probably some commentary on why that kid thought that was the right thing to say at the time.
Can I take a guess? And that's older siblings. Definitely the case.
Probably.
He does not care about naked women, this kid. All he said is like an older brother just talk about it in a very like obtuse way, which the older brother wouldn't even know. That's why he's saying the literal words naked women.
Yeah.
Anyway. Great stuff, though. Kids are weird.
Yeah, kids are weird. Play School's great.
Play School's great.
Anyway.
Ghostbusters was good.
Ghostbusters was good.
And
the real question is...
Yes?
Was Ghostbusters better or worse than Iron Man 2?
I mean, better.
I would say better, too.
Which one was Iron Man 2? Was that the...
this is where our rating system falls apart.
Oh, no.
Wait, is that literally what you do?
Sometimes.
Oh, because I feel like
if we remember.
Yeah. If we remember.
Which one was Iron Man 2? Because I probably have seen it.
Iron Man 2 was the one where...
He's got the
guy with the whip.
Suit.
The guy with the what?
Whip.
Big electric whips.
Oh, yes. I remember this. Better than Iron Man 2. 100% better than Iron Man 2. So much better than Iron Man 2.
Yeah, definitely was.
Yeah.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed Ghostbusters.
Too, but you suck.
The thing is, and can I just say, this is what I was going to say before, and this is my final note. I'm assuming we've hit the end of the
We're at an hour and 2 minutes.
Cool. Alright. So, the thing with Ghostbusters is, the first one was, like you said, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
The second one was trash.
I disagree, but I watched it before
Ghostbusters, right?
I don't remember, but I saw it before I was old enough to really give a fuck.
I have
good making of movies.
I'm the same. I have nostalgia for Ghostbusters 2, but watching it again, it's just Ghostbusters again, but a little bit worse. So I don't understand why people thought this Ghostbusters movie was going to ruin the original, because there was already a bad sequel.
It wasn't really a series or a franchise.
And that's why
they tried to make it
again. The first Ghostbusters, while a great movie, it's great because it's a silly, fun ghost movie with some funny people in it.
Mm.
This new one is a silly, fun ghost movie with some funny people in it.
Mm.
So there's no reason it wouldn't have been at least average.
I wish I had touched on this earlier in the episode. But the thing, anyway, back to it. But the thing that bothers me so much about the criticism that it received online, about the destroying childhoods, etc., etc., is that if you don't want a new Ghostbusters movie, you just don't have to see it. And, like, people forget that that's an option. And you can just, like, oh, I'm just not going to see that. And then you can walk away.
And even if you do, even if you do see it,
yeah,
and it's bad and you don't like it, that doesn't mean you go home and suddenly your Ghostbusters on Blu-ray, the original one, stops existing.
Yeah.
You don't understand. It's all about how much everyone else...
This is your retroactive bullshit.
No. I'm
pretty
playing
sure.
A comical version of the people who genuinely believe this, Sam. That was the intention
before
I even got to start my rant.
Because you have genuinely said in the past something bad in a future episode retroactively ruins the old thing, and you're wrong and you're a bad person.
I just
person,
wanted to say...
And you're part of the problem.
I just wanted to say an angry thing on you and Bobby talking about DC, alright?
Okay.
I had nothing else to say. I wanted to say an angry thing. But I, like... The people who are hating on this are coming at it from what I think they're coming at it from. That, like, it's everyone else liking it that they don't like.
Mm.
And I can understand where they're coming from. That whole, why don't you like the thing that I think is good when you do like the thing that I think is bad? And
you see, I have this thing with that. When I like something and other people don't, or when people like something that I don't, I understand that I'm right and they're wrong, so there's no problem with it.
Yes, but so you, not everyone was as egotistical
as me, it wouldn't be a problem.
And I agree. Generally, it should just be fuck what other people think. I'm gonna like what I like, and who cares if they don't. But
sometimes, like, I get it. I get their point of view of people liking it, but also they are wrong in this case.
They are objectively incorrect, yes. So fuck them. Anything else you want to say?
Is that it?
That's the end of the podcast. Fuck them.
Oh, we should end on a positive note.
Yeah, probably.
Ghostbusters was good. Wasn't that that actor Kate McKinnon?
Kate McKinnon was really,
really good.
I agree. Oh my god, thought she did a great job.
Oh, good, excellent.
Yeah,
I'm glad that was a running gag.
Yeah. But no, Ghostbusters, new Ghostbusters was very good, and I'm so happy that it exists for all the little kiddos out there who are going to watch it for the first time. It's gonna
yes,
be great.
And I agree. I'm glad Ghostbusters has been introduced to a new generation.
I do have that niggling little thought that I'm going to show this to my kids one day, and then they're going to go, this is really cool, Dad. I want to see the old one. And I go, yeah, look, let's show them the old one. And they go, what's this tripe? What's this garbage? The CGI is terrible. And I'll be like, the CGI is so much worse than the new one.
That's why you show them the original first, Cal.
No, but see, you can't do that, Sam. Because then you end up going, no, my kids have got to play an Atari 2600 before I'll let them have an Xbox 5.
Yeah,
where
no,
does it
I've been,
stop?
You see, you don't watch any movie that's colour until you've seen at least 5 black and white movies.
Yeah.
Of course. See Ghostbusters.
And on that note...
In a crowded theatre, if you can.
Yes. Yes, I think this would be better with a crowded theatre. A lot of people laughing. Good times.
Yes.
Videoshoppod.com. You can find all our other shows.
It's where all the good stuff is.
Before the movies, Dice Hard, Video Show Podcast.
I'm Millie Holm on Twitter. I just need a friend. Righto! Jumping in there. Tweet me. How's your day been? Keep going.
Go.
I'm so sorry.
I'm at Sam Pratchett on Twitter.
Millie's with an IE. Sorry, keep going.
If you want to tweet at us, it's at Video Show Pod. But just tweet Millie, because we're not going to reply.
Yes.
Just tell Millie how your day was.
Just tell me how your day was. What did you have for lunch? Was it good? Was it healthy? Treat yourself, doesn't matter. Have a nice day, everyone.
Yep. Yep. All right, cool.
We did it.
See you, Neds.